You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff. This is the podcast that's all about the dolls. They were the groupies, the wives, the girlfriends, and the muses who played such a huge role in rock and roll history by simply being themselves.
They were sweet, sexy, brave, and powerful. They went after what and who they wanted, and they made no apologies.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Hey guys, how you doing? It is your co-host, Shanti, here. I'm going to be doing the intro to this episode all by my lonesome today because Lynx is really sick. She's at home, just recovering, resting, because tomorrow we're going to go see Eagles of Death Metal, and groupie girl needs to get some rest. So I'm just going to take this one and go with it. So the episode that I'm introducing is our interview that we did with Fred Penner. And it's short and sweet, and it's so lovely. And for those of you who grew up in Canada and are between the ages of 20 and 35, probably also grew up watching him on television and grew up with his amazing songs and words and all that. I'll get into his formal intro in just a moment. But I just wanted to let you guys know that even though we have, if you go back into our iTunes or our website where you listen to our episodes, if you go back into the last few episodes, it's all interviews that we did at Canadian Music Week. And it was an amazing week. We had such a great time, and we got to go to some really fantastic shows, and we either got to interview all of the bands that we were interested in seeing and interviewing, or at the very least make some amazing connections. So I just wanted to let you guys know that we are going to get back into having just Lynx and I together recording, talking about some really fantastic, fearless, amazing groupies and muses, having read their autobiographies or whatever. So don't worry, that's coming back at you as well, those sort of official episodes. But I am curious, what have you guys been enjoying? Do you like the little bit of a mixture between interviewing as well as, or sometimes it doesn't even feel like an interview, it feels more like a conversation with the person that we're talking to, which is the benefit of having a podcast. It's not exact, it doesn't always have to be just about the musician, right? We're allowed to, or we feel like we can have the nice opportunity to have a little bit of a back and forth exchange. So what do you guys think? Do you like both? Are you leaning more towards just the stories of the groupies? Let us know. So we have this episode coming up with Fred Penner. Next week, we're going to be doing a check-in with Agnes DeMarco, which we're super excited about, especially because Mac is going to be in Toronto a few days after that. So we thought it was a nice timing just to check in with her. Of course, we'll be at that show. And then after that, it'll be back to your, you know, regular program as usual for a while. But the crazy, like, amazing, awesome thing is we have some incredible interviews lined up with these, like, badass women that we either connected with over, like, during CMW, like Denise Donlin. Denise freaking Donlin. She's such a Canadian fearless feminist trailblazer. And we had been interacting with her a little bit on Twitter. And then when we went and saw her talk afterwards, we went to get our book signed, and she saw Lynx and I, and she went, you guys are rock stars. So that made us feel pretty friggin' amazing. So we're gonna be talking to her. It's one of my favorite Canadian photographers. She's amazing. She'll be on. And we've got all of that coming up. And, you know, it's like, sometimes I'm like, oh, this is a problem. Too many great people in so little time. But really, just have to take a breath, and it'll all come when it, like, as it unfolds, as it naturally will. And it's not a bad problem to have, having so much awesome material and so many amazing people that are willing and happy to be a part of this process. The last thing I'm going to say about CMW was that it was so much fun working and hanging out with Eric Alper. This guy is amazing. If you have anything to do with Canadian music, you will probably already know his name and know him as this kind of guy who does everything. Really great guy, really well-liked, really smart, really fantastic social media presence. And he's a total feminist. He's got a whole bunch of amazing women working for and around him. And you can tell that he believes in the power of the strong woman. So we really appreciate kind of having him on our side. And we just need more men like him, I think, especially in the music industry, who are just champions for women working. And so through him, we got to meet some really amazing women who are either managers or, you know, assistants or working within music, which was great. And then finally, just getting back to, you know, all of the amazing groupies that we saw at all of the shows. When you really open up your eyes and you start looking around, you go, oh, look, there's that one that's standing at the front of the stage, just looking up lovingly at the musician that they're there to see. Or like the women who were wearing the knifey t-shirts that were all there for one of the guys in the band. It's just fantastic. And when we asked them, hey, are you guys groupies? Without hesitation, they went, hell yeah. So that was really fantastic. It was really nice to see that. So speaking of amazing women doing cool things, I'm just going to give a shout out to this podcast called Dames Not Damsels. And it's just these two badass chicks in Reno who kind of explore like women and geekdom and like geek out about pretty cool things, actually. Anything from video games to music. And I've just discovered it and it's still pretty new, but it's yeah, one of my favorites so far. So, my friends, I'm going to give you Mr. Penner's introduction. Fred Penner is a 3-time Juno Award-winning singer-songwriter who just released his 13th album, which is called Hear the Music. Hear the Music features some pretty cool Canadian artists such as Ron Sexsmith. Actually, Ron Sexsmith hangs out in the same neighborhood that we live, and he's always got on, like, really incredible outfits. I digress. Ron Sexsmith, Alex Cuba, Baja Boulay, The Good Lovelies, Tara Lightfoot, and Alfie Yurvanen, who you might know as Bahamas. We saw Bahamas in Peterborough last summer. They were so amazing. And yeah, the album also features backup vocals from his family. And we had a couple of questions about the album, which we get to in the interview. For our American and overseas listeners, it's important to know that people my age grew up watching this man on television. And he had the show called Fred Penner's Place. It was on the air for 12 seasons. It starts off, he's in nature, he crawls through this wonderful log and he comes out, he's got his guitar and he's got all of these, you know, magical animal friends. just lovely. So we grew up with him. We sang with him and laughed with his puppets and felt comforted by his wisdom and safe in his space. I'm definitely a Fred head. So is Lynx. And you'll learn what that means in the upcoming interview. It was kind of our first time we felt interviewing someone who was like larger than life for us. You know, he's been at this for 45 years, and he's such a familiar face and voice. And then we walked into the SiriusXM studio, and then I saw him sitting there, and I went, oh man, like he's really here. But he put us at ease immediately when we met him. Ron Sexsmith describes Fred as having a shaman-like quality about him, and we totally agree. He's beautiful, not only on the inside, but also on the outside. Holy moly. And he's tall. My goodness. He's the real deal. He's an inspiration, not only with his message, but his outlook on life, which we get into in our short and sweet chat. He's an ambassador for World Vision, and seeing as we're so very interested in musicians using their power for good, we certainly hope to continue to travel on this journey with Mr. Penner by our side, in our hearts, and in our ears. I really recommend that you check out his album, Hear the Music. It's available everywhere music is sold, and you can also tap in to your inner child and really reconnect with what's important. I love you. Thank you for listening, everybody, and enjoy the show.
Testing 1, 2. Is this working?
Testing 1, 2.
All right.
It looks like it's working. All right. We are here today at the SiriusXM headquarters.
That's right.
And we have the honor and the pleasure of speaking with Fred Penner. I can't believe I just said that. I'm so excited. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
I grew up watching you.
So did I. So did everyone, pretty much, like our age, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Thank you.
We all did, and I can remember sitting in my living room in Mississauga, Ontario, watching you and the music and the log and everything, the puppets. Everything. So I am a Fred head.
Thank you.
I'm absolutely a Fred head.
Proud to be. So, all right.
Yes.
Proud to be.
Two Fred heads here. Excellent.
Two proud groupies, two proud Fred heads. One thing I would like to ask you to start off is there are a lot of Fred heads out there, and they might not even know it.
Apparently.
Could you explain that term?
Well, apparently, again, after doing this for multiple decades, and connecting with people from coast to coast and all over North America, I seem to have wormed my way into the psyche of a generation. I think part of it is because at the beginning of my career, certainly with the television world, personality is formed from, as you know, from basically birth to 5 years old. Fred Penner's place was that. From, you know, children as young as the parents were prepared to let their kids watch television, kids were put in front of the show, and they watched me crawl through the log, and they watched me interact with them and say, hi, how are you, nice to see you, let's get the guitar and sing a song, you know. So that whole world was there, and it was all about inclusion. It was all about safety. When you crawl through Fred, through that log, virtual log, you were in this environment that I hoped would people would feel a security, a safety inside of that, because it was hidden away, kind of thing. And if you do that on a repetition over years, over months, then perhaps because the personality is formed in that time, maybe in some little way I've snuck into your DNA, and now. You're mine. You're mine. You know, I mean that. That's tongue in cheek, but it's a little bit like that. And that generation who did appreciate and did connect with me at a vital time of their development, and are now the young adults having their own children. Those are the Fredheads. Those are the these beautiful people who are in their own world, in their own direction, their own musical paths. I mean, many of the performers who came onto this new album on Hear the Music, like the Good Lovelies, like Afi, Bahamas, like Ron Sexsmith, you know, aware of me in that world, and they were so excited about coming into my musical journey. So it's so that's where the Fredheads sort of began, and they still seem to be really keen and see this as a cool thing.
Yeah, you certainly have a really unique journey as a rock star. Being with people like from birth, basically, it is definitely like it is part of the DNA. I feel you. Other musicians, you know, they sort of come and go. Like your interest with them sort of sometimes they'll put out an album and you will go your separate ways with them. But I feel like because it's from childhood, it is a forever connection that you don't really get with other musicians that you find later in life.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So you've said that it's important to rediscover youthful exuberance.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so important for adults to connect with their inner child?
Oh boy, that's the essence of therapy. You know, I mean, when you I've had a counselor for years, and I go in and talk about my life in transition. I've gone through a divorce and a new marriage and four children. I mean, there's lots of pretty complicated things in my emotional world, and talking to a therapist. I mean, it's a common thing. Talking about your or discovering your inner child, and I think because we are affected by the things that do happen to us over a lifetime, mm-hmm. where traumatic moments happen, you know, where somebody in your world puts such a pressure on you that it does affect you emotionally, and you put up a barrier just to keep yourself at bay, to stop from hurting too much, and you put up that wall, and you put up this wall, and put up this wall, and you finally reach adulthood, and you think, why do I overreact to the situation, which seems like it doesn't make sense why I do that, and then if you get into, we're getting fairly deep here, if you get into a therapeutic line, and they say, well, tell me about your development. Where did you grow up? What happened? What was your relationship like with your parents or with your siblings? And then all of a sudden it's, oh my goodness, there was this time when something happened, when your mother or father or uncle, there was a verbal or sometimes tragically a physical abuse that would happen that you've but you've blocked off completely, even so much that you don't even remember it until you do start digging in, and then it's go in, figure out what that was, live through it, and make yourself whole again. Because those things stop you from becoming the beautiful person that you are, mm-hmm. you know. And going through that transition is so vital. But something that I've learned along my journey is it's not just about the inner child; it's about the inner family. Mm-hmm. Because as you've gone through your life, there's tragic moments at different points, certainly when you hit puberty and in relationship world and trying to figure out who you are and sexuality and contact, it gets really complex and you get hurt. And those things are really hard to deal with along the way. So you look back from your adulthood now and you say, oh yeah, I remember that relationship really sucked. How about this one? Yeah, not so good. Yeah, and you see these points along the way that all affected who you are as an adult. And you need to deconstruct. You need to go back and say, yeah, that was, I did, back then, I did the best I could with what I had. And you give yourself permission to grieve, to feel that pain, to feel what that was, and to let it dissipate. Mm-hmm. Let it flow through you. let it go, you know. And it's hard to do, but it's so important, because then when you finally get to that point and it's gone, I don't feel that thing anymore. Mm-hmm. I can now approach another person with vulnerability, with openness, with love, mm-hmm. and say, yeah, let's explore this, let's figure out where this world is going. And also that, start breathing and meditation and all of those things happen, and you just grow. And did that answer your question?
That's spectacular. Yes.
and more. And you're thank you so much for that. My family's been going through a very difficult time because my father has MS. And it's been taking him in ways that is unimaginable.
Yeah.
It's very tough on a family. And so when I was seeing a therapist, one thing she said, because there was a lot of, we felt like we were unraveling and going out of control, and she said, well, why don't you connect with something as a child that made you feel safe and powerful? And that was my bedroom.
Yeah,
and she said, and what did you get to choose in that room? And I said, the color of the walls.
Yeah.
And she said, what was the color of the walls? And I said, it was called flamingo pink. So from then on, she said, you go and you wear flamingo pink. Every time you see that, be reminded that that you still have power, and that you still... And then, now, you know, approaching my 30s, like connecting with that, but then also connecting back to that family and my brothers and my family and I, just having those conversations, just deconstructing,
nice.
Like you said. And it's been so healing.
Good
it's
for
not,
you.
It's
That's
not
great.
Easy, but...
No, it's not easy.
It's a process.
There's a wonderful poem. It's a Rumi poem called The Guest House. And it's about... if you get a chance to look it up, it's really a very powerful poem. And it's about these unexpected guests that come to your door, whether it's pain or suffering or anger. These things will come to you and how you approach them. And the guest house is, welcome them in. Let them... Hello... I see you. I accept this emotion, and I'm going to let it go through. It's a very, very powerful poem.
I will absolutely check that out. So working with children, so from my work with children, just thinking about the education system in the past, you know, our system has been very math-focused, very literacy-focused, very assessment-based, but that bit about the welcoming everything, the emotional intelligence is what I like to bring into my classroom, creating that safe space.
Sure.
And for the children who are just on the cusp of puberty, so creating restorative circles and giving them an opportunity to open up and say how they're doing that day. How are you feeling? Comment te sens-tu? Je me sens fâché, je me sens feeling angry, I'm feeling upset, or I'm feeling sad. And it develops empathy within them. And some teachers are maybe have the mind of, I don't have time for that because I've got to teach my math lesson, or we've got science to do, and I've got to check and check and check. But it seems like the education system is bringing more mindfulness into the schools. And because, you know, this emotional thing, how to express themselves in a vulnerable way, sometimes isn't always taught at home.
Of course, because parents are as guarded and even more guarded and protected than the children are. And the children are closer to the vulnerability than the parents often are. And it's not easy. You know, as you say, it can be really difficult to be that yourself. But it is all about healing yourself first, and then you can, you know, don't try and make things right for somebody else if you haven't made it right for yourself. You know, get to your core, because the stronger person you are, then the more you have to give to somebody else. And that's fundamental. But in the world of parenting and trying to balance things and the economics and certainly in an urban center like Toronto, the traveling to work and making all those ends meet and fit, is very, very difficult. And to find that balance in yourself, you need tools, and those tools come from emotional awareness, and it comes from meditation, It comes from starting the day with some mindfulness practice, even a 5-minute meditation. We were at a school in Salmon Arm, British Columbia, and I was doing a performance. And before the performance, they had the PA system was on, you know, where this child came on and said, good morning, everybody. This is so-and-so from grade 7 or grade 8. All right, I want you to stand still for a moment. I want you to take a deep breath. You know, I want you to think about how beautiful you are. You know, this child guided the school through a meditative practice. And this happens every day in this school. I thought, are you kidding? How long does that take? You know, 5 minutes and all the kids, okay, now, hey, good to see you. You know, and it changes your perspective. You suddenly zero in.
The energy just changes.
Oh, the energy completely flips. And that takes no time at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you become better learners. Mm-hmm. You know, then you're prepared to, okay, you know, to be open to the learning process. If you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's so vital. And I think more and more people are getting into that just as a balance to the insanity. We live in absolute insanity.
Yes.
There's no question. To do what we do as human beings in an urban setting or anywhere is insane. Mm-hmm. To go from here to there, I have no question. So balance that out for yourself. Do yourself a favor. Find 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, just to sit. Sit quietly, breathe, let whatever thoughts you're feeling flow through you, and then get up and start your day.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Speaking of finding
Are we on the same page?
100%.
We noticed two of your new tracks are called Humility and Courage, mm-hmm. and those are part of the seven sacred teachings.
They are, absolutely.
Was that a conscious choice?
Oh, clearly. I was involved with a TV series in Winnipeg called TP Tales, which is an Aboriginal-based series. Mm-hmm. And part of it, there were four puppet children, two grandparents, and seven animals, the animals connecting with the spiritual law. So turtle is truth, eagle is love, bear is courage, wolf is humility, sabe, or Bigfoot, is honesty, beaver is wisdom. And so I wrote songs for these elements. I wrote songs for the children, I wrote songs for the grandparents, and their support of the children. And it was this beautiful triangular connecting of all these pieces. So I wrote about all those elements, and I've been sitting on these songs for years now, and when I originally wrote them, they were only like a minute or so, because that was all that was needed for that perspective. So when this album came along, it was the opportunity to flesh them out and make them stronger, make them bigger into full tunes. So Courage is one of my all-time favorites. My wife and I, we worked on that. She's a story editor and an actor trainer, and she, you know, got into the story of that and helped develop the lyric for that one. Humility, talking about identity and who you are and how you feel about, you're not too big, not too strong. Whoever you are is best of all. And don't try to be someone that you're not. Be proud of all you've got. Again, that whole thing, let this grow and feel through. So totally a conscious thing, but it came from that beginning. And Hold Your Head Up also is the honesty of Sabe.
That's wonderful. I knew it was a conscious. Yeah. I asked that, but I knew that you knew. And one thing that I've told the kids too, it's when we're making these decisions or if you're faced with peer pressure, then you just ask yourself, is the decision that I'm going to make, is it going to go with or against these seven truths that we've learned? And if you know inside that it's going against, then there you've got your answer.
Yeah.
It's almost like a little bit of a guide to help them along.
Absolutely. And more schools are adopting that as their as their not mantra, well, almost a mantra for their, but their template for behavior within the school. And you cross that line, okay, well, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. You disrespected somebody and that caused this rift in your communication. Let's be a little clearer about how you feel and treating others as you want to be treated. That's the key, really.
Hopefully that leads to a whole civilization doing the same.
Well, that's the ultimate thought. And there's more. I mean, I see this as I go through my beautiful journey. More and more people are getting into that world and are aware of the value of that. And it's really invigorating. And that's what keeps me optimistic and mm-hmm. positive in this world. The insanity is always going to be there. The confusion will be there. The greed will always be there, as much as I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, but so what? How do you deal with it? How do you balance that? You can't just stay angry with all that. You have to find, you have to take it back in and...
Mm-hmm. And breathe.
Get
outside and get into nature. And that's another thing with these teachings and just incorporating First Nations into our curriculum. And just every day. It doesn't, it's not like a unit that we're doing. It's just inclusive incorporation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it allows them to then connect in our urban setting with the earth, and that it's not that it's here for us, but we are a part of it, and we need to take care, and we need
to
be grateful, and we're all in this together. Mm. And so then it allows people, children especially, to see themselves as not just a community of wherever their school is, and not just a community of Toronto or just Canada, but as global citizens.
Totally.
Because that's the mindset that we need to have, is we're citizens of the whole earth. And that.
Yeah.
And so in case anybody is just, you know, freaking out at home, going, our world is going to shit, you know what, we can be maybe a little bit of a, you know what, we're seeing that there are some really great kids coming up, and the future's in good hands.
And you give them those prods, and those supports of what they're doing, and they feel stronger, the spine straighten up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hold that thought for 1 second.
Absolutely.
Because I need to, because I don't want to get up a huge parking ticket, and I've got the green pea here. So you can keep running while I do this. This will be very, very quick.
Okay.
And then you can do it on your phone.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Oh, that's cool.
Hello, thank you, technology.
Yeah,
there's
technology,
one thing. Like,
choose duration.
We're not even going to get into technology.
I'm going to go, I'll just go there and next.
But
and I already have some money in the thing.
Off.
Calculating fee? Yes, I do. Thank you.
There it goes. All right. So we've been talking about working with children. Because that's what you do, that's what you're known for, you're automatically held to a higher moral standard than most musicians are.
Mm.
The most people,
yes.
Scary.
Yeah. And we have a podcast about groupies, and we're not going to ask you to spill any secrets, but have you ever found it difficult to keep these two sides of yourself separate?
No. Not really. I think because I came into this, you know, it wasn't like I was a weird soul before this, and suddenly I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to work with children, you know. But you know, and because that would have necessitated me assuming an alter ego from who I really was, if I was some dark soul,
mm-hmm.
and I had to get up for this,
mm-hmm.
but then after, into that pit. I've always been a very sensitive, caring human being. I had a sister who was a Down syndrome child. You may have read about that. She was a huge influence in me.
Mm-hmm.
Working with physically, mentally challenged kids, volunteering in treatment centers in Winnipeg, seeing how those little threads of dissent can come into a child's life that throw them off balance. You know, where a parent or somebody in a family would come to the child and say, you're a waste of space, you know, you are useless, You are not. I would be better off if you had never been born, kind of thing. And kids seeing that, feeling that. So then, what's stopping them from being the worst people on the planet? You know. So then they do bad stuff because it supports their negative self-image. Mm-hmm. So seeing those things and how music could make a difference. You know, we could sing a song. We could do something that for a moment in their lives made them feel just a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, even for that blink, trusting my creativity that it could go there, that it had the ability to cross that line, was a huge awakening for me. The one of the first concerts I ever did after the Cat Came Back record was produced in 1978-79, I was at the University of Manitoba, and I'd sold a stack of records. It was vinyl time. Those were falling off the shelves. It was a really vibrant turning point. That was the beginning of that level of the career. And there was a mother or a woman at the back who was waiting for me to finish with everybody else, and then I went over and said hello, and she said hi. She says, I have a story to tell you. She says, my family, I have my husband and three kids. We bought your record. We love the record. And my youngest child, 4 years old, was in hospital with a brain tumor. We took a tape recorder, a record player, into the room with her, and we played the music, and we bonded through this music, and my child, you know, passed away. And she wanted me to know how important that was to her family. And that was like that, there was benchmark number one. It was, I felt all this stuff before working with kids, but here, after a performance was there, here's what you can aspire to. You know, this is a high calling to be given that opportunity, that blessing to be able to touch somebody, a family, to that level was, okay, I'm in. Come on. You know, and those, and that kind of thing has just come to me like a hundredfold over the years. People sharing their stories, telling me how they feel, bringing that together, honoring each other in that level. Amazing.
Mm. Has everybody's heart? Yeah. Okay, right from the beginning. Thank you. One kind of last thing. Not that we're gonna go easy on you, but I listened. I think I sent it to you. Listened to it too. Yeah. An interview with Iggy Pop on his 70th birthday, and did the interviewer started with this question, but we figured we'd save it because we didn't want to be that mean
well,
to you.
I think I appreciate it, but go ahead. I'll reserve judgment till after the question.
So she said Iggy, but we'll say Fred. Are you happy?
Happy?
That was the question.
That's a good question. I am. If it's possible to be more than happy, I love life. I love being able to do what I do. I have a new love in my life, and she's fabulous, and we communicate on the most wonderful level. You know, she's Buddhist, and meditation is part of that, and we communicate in the best possible way. So answer is yes, I am a very happy person, and thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for making so many of us happy. You really are, you're almost like family. Mm. You were so part of our childhood. Thank you.
It's true.
Well, in a way, that's none of my business. You know, I mean, I really appreciate you saying that, mm-hmm. but I do what I do because I feel it's positive. I mm-hmm. feel it's strong. If you take that in and elevate that to a level of positivity within you, that's the best I could ever hope for. You're fabulous young people. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on our podcast.
Pleasure.
And thank you everybody for listening. And definitely, definitely listen to Fred's new album. The music, it is wonderful.
Ooh.
And you can hear 2 out of the 7 sacred teachings there. And you work with some amazing artists such as Patsy Boulay and Yael Bahamas and Ron Tech Smith. So we'll,
Alex so. Cuba, the Good Lovelies. Many, many, many.
Great for any age.
Thank you. That's a beautiful compliment.
Okay. And thank you everybody for listening. Yes. See you next time.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.